This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
New Kansas City, an Odyssey Sports Station.
That's right. It's already Wednesday. This week is flying by.
I was thinking about that as I was doing my laps around the building this morning, because you know, you do it as well. You gotta keep moving. You can't sit all day.
You gotta
right?
find out who's here.
You gotta nobody. literally nobody other than us are in the building at this point in time, except for the folks down at the Wolf. So it's nice to see somebody every once in a while too. So I was doing my laps around the building. I'm like, damn, it's already getting light out at this point of the day now. So you know we're getting into summer. If you look into the eastern sky, the sun is already up out there, right? And you had said yesterday, man, Tuesday's quick, and then it's Wednesday, and then it's the end of the week, and I'm like, yeah, we're already here to Wednesday. And for us, this is kind of our beginning of our Thursday, you know, like it's just we're always a day ahead of everybody else. And so you're right, man, this week is kind of flying by. The draft is kind of get put to bed with Binkley at 6:45 this morning. We can move on to the games and the schedule release and all that kind of stuff in the NFL. And you know, here we sit, man, this week is just and it's the end of April already too. Is anybody else like creeped out by the fact that April is already over today too, and tomorrow is already the 1st of May? We're already back to Halloween, dude.
That's crazy.
Here come the flowers.
Yeah, the May Day flowers will be coming out tomorrow, but here we go. We got May, gosh, already. And it just goes to show you how fast everything goes and how fast the year flies. You're like, oh, we're not gonna have to worry about that till football season. We are 92 days away from the Hall of Fame game. 92 wow. days away from the NFL Hall of Fame game featuring, I don't know what two teams are playing in that turd bird of a football game on bad turf in Canton. But hey, we're 92 days away from having some real live action, baby. Let's go.
Live action, just like the Turtle Man. Yee yee. Got to believe that guy's out there doing something not say he's supposed to be doing. Diving in ponds. I just because you said Binkley and like draft coverage, I just went to his folder on the files that we play audio from.
Oh, yeah.
There's... I had no idea. Don't know why. I guess I'm out of this. I guess this guy's name of the coach. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cuts from a guy named Ryan Nutt.
Oh, he was some guy they rolled out on Saturday to talk about the draft.
Yeah, Jalen Royals.
Yeah.
Is who he's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I think he's some scout that the organization has. I'm sure he's kind of like the next guy, you know, now that Borgonzi, you know, went to Tennessee. Maybe this is the next guy that they're trying to kind of, I don't know, promote, move up the line. I don't know. I don't know how it works over there. He signed this guy or whatever the case may be.
So, I always like the name Ryan.
R-Y-N-E.
Yeah.
Do you pronounce it Ryan or do you pronounce it Ryan?
It's Ryan, like it's Ryan Sandberg.
Oh, Ryan. Okay, R-Y-N-E, yeah. Like Sandberg. Duh.
Yeah. You could call him Ryan, but you probably have a Jim Rome moment.
Don't call me Ryan again. Okay, Ryan.
Yeah.
It's Ryan.
Yeah.
It's Ryan. What is that? Ryan.
Hey, you call me Jared Lorenzen? I bet you don't call me Jared one more time. I do.
Bet I do. Jared. Jared pitched well last night, huh?
Look good.
I mean,
good.
Nice night for the boys in blue. 20-game hitting streak. They got a win. They're back to 500. They beat a team that's kind of in their category as well. The schedule is pretty easy moving forward for the Royals. I mean, you got another one with Tampa today and tomorrow at noon, and then you got Baltimore, and then you got the White Sox after that. Woo-hoo, baby. Let's go. 10-game winning streak. Put it on the board. Yes.
You know what's going to happen? I'm glad you said that. You know what's going to happen, everybody, this year? Everybody at least once this year is going to get absolutely KO'd by the Yankees. Like, this
Did
poor,
you see that
this
yesterday?
Poor Kyle Gibson guy yesterday.
That dude's 37 years old.
Yeah. He might be done. I mean, you play the Yankees, and it wasn't even, and I know that some people think that Baltimore is a sandbox, too. First inning, home run, home run, home run.
Yeah.
And then next inning, home run. It's like, it is what it is. It happened to Lugo. It happened to this guy. It happened to that poor sap in Milwaukee on opening day or whatever it was.
Yeah. But that like, former Yankee guy, yeah.
It's just going to happen to people. Like, Judge, another one. He's got 9. Like, DJ Khaled should just be like, every time he hits a home run, just another one. Judge is up. Like, it's just, MVP's over. The best team in the American League is over. Like,
which is crazy because we did say that at the end of the season when Soto went off to the Mets. We go, they could be better. And I think it was you even said, no, they will be better.
Yeah.
And they are better without Juan Soto in their lineup. That's why you don't invest that kind of money into one person because you can spread it out and get other dudes in your lineup that are producing. And the Yankees have shown that it's not just about, you know, kind of one guy in their lineup. But that poor sap last night, Gibson or whatever
Gibson.
Was, right? So he's given up these home runs, and I've got that game on one TV and the Royals on the other. And I'm like, who is this guy, right? And I look him up. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Kyle Gibson.
Cardinals
like
pitcher.
He's been around the block. Mm-hmm. He's 37 years old, but that was like his first start called back up from the minors. And he was out there on the mound for the first time in a while, getting that kind of that call up. He's getting $5 million now because he's been called up to the big leagues. But that cat looked like he was a position player pitching in the first inning last night.
Yankees lineup, man. But the highlight of last night.
Up the middle and into center field. And that is a 20-game hitting streak for Bobby Witt Jr.
There you go. That was nice.
Please.
Nice. Right up the middle.
Are you there yet? Or are you still
20
just,
games is big, man. Okay. No, 20 games is a big number.
Because that's, I think, the topic that I have about that with the hitting streak is obviously Bobby Witt is, you know, must-watch TV. Like, if you're grilling out and, you know, India's up, you're holding the tongs, standing by the door watching the TV.
Yeah, hey, one leg right? in, one you're leg like, out.
Fire's looking, fun, fire's fun. Have you flipped the chops yet? Stop. Yeah. Real quick. But, like, now it's to the point where, like, yes, you watch every Bobby Witt at bat, but 20 games is, like, we're done being like, yeah, hypothetical. Like, let's see how far it goes. I'm not saying that DiMaggio's record is getting beaten up. Please do not put me on record saying that. But like now you have what I like to call something inside of something.
Yeah.
Which is like you have a team that's winning. They're 500 right now. They're 15-15. They won the game last night. Whether they only scored three runs or not, they won.
They won.
Keep winning.
And all you're going to need to score if this pitching staff continues to pitch like they have been, you know?
Right. And now you have like, I don't know. It's kind of like a Cracker Jack box of a season right now. You have the main ingredient, which is your Royals that you're watching because they're entertaining to some, but they're winning for most. And then you have this like little token that's in the bottom of the box of like, you know, Bobby's got a 20 game history going on. And it's like, oh, okay. That game starts at 6:05 tonight. Okay. I know I need to be in front of my TV by 6:07 because he will be up.
Yeah.
And you're hoping, like me, and hopefully other people too, first at bat, get the hit, get out of the way.
Get it out of the way. Last night was a little bit of a struggle bus.
You were fingernailing it, right?
Yeah, like you get to that last inning, eighth inning, whatever it was, and he came up for that last time. Like, all right, you got to do it here, man. Yeah. You got to do it. And bam, base hit up the middle.
And that's the other thing too, is that like the fact that it's 20 games straight, like not, they don't play 20 games in a row, but they've probably played 18 out of the 20 games and days that he's played. I know they had an off day Monday and they had an off day
the following Monday.
Yeah, so that's two. But I mean, it's like now you watch the game and you're like, all right, Bobby's up. All right, there's a hit. There we go. Okay. And it's almost to the point where it will get to like, well, if he gets a hit, I don't care if the score is 7-1 and they're losing. As long as Bobby gets a hit, that's what I mean by you have the token inside the box. That's also, obviously, the main ingredients, but like you watch Bobby.
Sometimes that prize in Cracker Jacks is better than the actual Cracker Jacks.
And it's the key point is it's still a prize.
Yeah.
So like, and that's the thing is like you don't know how Bobby's gonna do it. Like at one of these games that we watch, he's gonna hit like a slow dribble to third and beat it out, and he's gonna go 1-for-3.
Well, but that's how hitting streak continues, though. You know, and then it goes on for another 10 games.
And it's weird how stuff like that in these sports that are so, you know, weird in themselves, how things like that can happen. Like you watch a guy throw a no hitter at least 2 or 3 times, Bob, there's going to be like a majestic play.
Hell yeah.
Maybe not to the level of that guy last night where he fell down, looked up, put his hand out.
I don't know what play that was. That was insane in Toronto last night.
Craziest thing I've ever seen.
I've never seen anything like that. Like somebody like, I don't want to say insult because it's not an insult, but it's like, are you trying out for the Savannah Bananas? Like, no, that guy just fell. The Savannah Bananas actually planned that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
That thing was, that was an unbelievable play.
I had to send it to you guys because I just shut the door to the garage, got on my phone and looked at it. I was like, no way.
But so, the problem is we didn't get a good enough replay of that. Like, wasn't there a camera that we could have gotten closer or a slow-mo
something?
So nobody else found a slow-mo replay of that, right? I kept watching that thing over. It was done, the angle. So this guy's running dead center field in Toronto, which for me anyway appears to be a bigger ballpark than it is on TV. Every time I watch a game in Toronto on TV, I'm like, that is a massive ballpark, right? And so this dude's running dead center field, Jim Edmonds style, right? Back to home plate. The camera angle is behind home plate, and this cat's running, and then all of a sudden he trips on the carpet. because that's what that is out there, right? You've fallen on carpet before, right? And here comes the ball, and he kind of collects himself and puts his arm up with the glove and, like, backhand sideways catches this thing.
Nonchalantly, too.
Yeah. And the pitcher's like,
Buying that guy something real nice.
Like that pitcher dude was like, oh my God, what the hell just happened here? But I mean, it was an amazing, amazing play. You mentioned perfect games and stuff. Rendon was pitching a perfect game last night for the Yankees, or Rodon, or whoever it was. Carlos Rodon, Anthony Rendon, I think it was
Rodon. No, one's actually playing.
One actually plays. Carlos Rodon plays, Rendon does not play. And so he's pitching a perfect game last night. Volpe makes this play at shortstop, gets the guy out. Obviously, it didn't continue, and he gave up a couple of hits. But still, you're talking about those plays and those moments that happen. Every time there's a streak going, there's something big that happens or something small, like a little dribbler or something like that. So we'll see if this thing continues. And, you know, you start to get to 25 and 30, then you got people talking, man. People start talking.
I just want him to get past Witt for right now. I just want him to get to, like, at least get to 31, right? It's like when Sal was chasing Soler.
Yeah, right.
Like
certain guys have team records you really don't want them to have.
Yeah. And that's the selfish part of me too, where I'm like, all right.
So well, Witt was very selfish as well. So not Bobby, but you know, Phil Witt
Junior,
or whatever his name was.
We're not talking about Junior.
Junior,
We're talking
who the hell was Phil Witt?
Phil Witt?
Oh, he was the guy on TV.
He was a news anchor, I thought. Or like a weather guy. Yeah. Phil Witt for sure.
Phil Witt, Witt Merrifield, that's who we're talking about.
But no, it's good to see that. You got like a kind of like a nice little win last night, because 3-1 victory, bullpen looked great. They even had us all out there being like, really? They're really gonna put Zerp in here in the seventh? Like, where's Carlos here? Where's Hersig, man? Like, where's this guy at? Got out of it, won the game. Estevez, a little rocky, but you got the win. Your 3-1 victory last night. Bobby Witt, 20-game hit streak. But, you know, there's still the obvious that need to happen.
Yeah.
Still need to see Vinny and Massey hit.
You got to see those guys hit. But it's weird. They get a nice win last night, and I'm pissed. And I'm like,
why?
I don't want to waste this pitching. Like, I know it's not time to make that move yet, right? But we're watching a rotation that is and a bullpen, too, that is just spectacular. I mean, tip of the cap to, you know, JJ and company for building this rotation and getting these guys signed. And
bringing it back.
Getting these guys signed. Now, the Reagans thing is obviously a little concerning. He's missing his start today. We'll talk to Q about that coming up at 9 o'clock and find out, you know, they're not going to put him on the disabled list, they're saying, and whatnot. And so we'll see, you know, where they ultimately go with him. That is a little concerning. But as we start to, you know, get into the thick of things, and look, I'll just be honest with you. You had mentioned people are back now on the text line with the Royals and the up and down nature of the baseball season. Get ready to be back in on this team now, because they've got a schedule of the Sisters of the Poor, the East Toenail States of the world, the rest of Tampa, Baltimore,
Sasquatch,
then the White
State
Sox, and all of these places that stink out loud. They've got them coming up on their schedule. And so you've got the opportunity to win some games. They win some games, people will come back into the fold and get excited about it. So this is an opportunity for the Royals. Now you've got kind of a like, it's to that point of the year. I even watched a little NBA last night, okay?
Ooh.
I even dipped my toe into the NBA surface last night.
Peeping Tom on the NBA last night through the blinds.
Well, the Royals were over.
Peaky blinders.
You know, we were kind of falling asleep. What better way to put yourself to sleep than watch the NBA?
Come on.
And fall asleep to that. Like, I did not want
to
be kept up by an episode of Wings that I was captivated in Cheers or something like that.
You were doing good, Bob. You're doing good. You're dissipating.
I put the NBA on to kind of fall asleep to it. And I did fall asleep to it. And, yeah, nice job by the Knicks for finishing off that series last night.
They just want to make they want to make you sweat.
They do want to make you sweat, right?
It's good for the NBA.
No, it's great for the NBA.
I'm so glad
you
see
the TV ratings, though. I mean,
no
the TV
doubt.
Ratings have been great. It's because you got the Knicks doing their thing. You've got the Lakers involved. The Knicks and Lakers get bounced. The next round not going to be so good.
I think you're wrong.
We'll see. We'll see. It's big market teams, and we'll see. And LeBron and, you know, New York and all that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens when they get bounced. We'll see what happens now that Giannis is out of the NBA playoffs, too, if Milwaukee stops watching.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I want to get back to the other side of that, because I do want to continue the NBA conversation, because somebody tried to eat somebody's father last night. Plus, Bob thinks there's the biggest myth in sports that showed itself last night as well. And 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Wake up, everybody. Get up. Wednesday. It's almost 6:30. Half the day's already passed you by. Kind of.
Well, third of the day. No, more than a third of the day, right? Quarter of the day, right? First 6 hours of the day, six times four is, quarter of the day.
And that's math.
You already wasted a quarter of the day sleeping.
Get up. Join us. 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Dusty, Mac Morey with you as well. You can watch it, stream it, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, whatever you want to do. Go to the page on YouTube, like it, subscribe. Goes to the top of your screen, up to scroll, boom. Best damn looking faces on this radio station.
Well, come on. We're not competing with a lot here. I mean, let's be honest.
Keep them humble. I'll tell you what, man. Giannis is a lot stronger than I am.
Giannis should have kicked that dude's ass last night.
Was Mr. Halliburton Sr.
Yeah, Mr. Douchebag.
If you missed the video, the Pacers would win in overtime by a point. And then middle of the court, I kid you not, about half court, about where the coaches go and they get really pissed off, Senior Halliburtano is right in Giannis's face, trolling, talking, doing everything he can to get punched in the face. And Giannis kind of pulls back, gets some help, they separate. And then later on, they meet up again, and they're forehead to forehead. And Giannis still refuses to go after him like he probably could. And there's no secret what would happen if they were to just let him go at it. But, like, this – look, I know the NBA is going to take this as a win because it's action and it's controversy.
Oh,
and
it's great.
It's here at 6:22 on a Kansas City radio show.
Yeah, it's great.
But, I mean – like, if anybody thinks that Giannis is in the wrong, I think that you have to, like, go back and check yourself. Because there are people before, and I was talking to Mac about this as well, there were people before that when, like, fans storm the court and they taunt an athlete, they're like, hey, once you're on their domain, like, anything goes.
Yeah,
like,
if you get walloped because
you're trying to antagonize the tiger might bite.
It's like if you go into the ocean and you get bit by a shark and you wonder why, that's their domain. That's right. Their habitat. They're going to bite you if you're in there. You go onto a field or a court or the ice, and God forbid you go onto the ice in hockey.
Wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend it either. No, you deserve to be pummeled. And this guy was taunting from the baseline, right, with a big banner that had his son's picture on
his son's
face. And then goes out onto the court after the game and then continues it after. Words. And you're right, Giannis, man, like, that guy did everything he possibly could to not punch somebody. And then he also realizes, too, that he's probably going to get traded this offseason. There could be more money in it for him. So you don't want to do anything stupid, you know, to kind of ruin and to jeopardize that. But I look at what went on with that yesterday, and I just keep thinking about parents ruin sports at every level. Like, it doesn't matter what level sport your child is playing. There are parents out there that are trying to ruin that sport for those kids. And, you know, you see it at the younger levels, too, these parents that are trying to live vicariously through their sons and daughters. Oh, and then as they, you know, they kind of move up to that overbearing parent. And the kids don't want that. They don't want you as an overbearing parent to be doing stuff like that. They just want you to watch the game. And that's the way that I approach it now with my daughter in high school. I just sit there and watch the game. My wife, I can't speak for her. She yells a lot. But I think from my standpoint, it's always been just let the kids play. It's not about us. It's not about the parents. And your kid's team advanced, beating one of the great players in the world. They had a nice game. It was a fun ending. And the whole story of the game now, which is why we're talking about it, not because of the game, nobody cares, but because you went out there on the court and made an ass of yourself. And everybody can relate to that because everybody's either A, been a parent or been a kid and had seen parents act like that. And you know how embarrassing that is for the kid. Like, think about your son, because even after the game, Halliburton's like, dude, Pops is in the wrong. Like, it was that bad. Like, son is going after Pops after the game. And so you can't do that kind of stuff, man. Like, you're a parent out there at any level. You can't be a jackass or a jackassette. Like, you have to behave yourself at these games, because when you act like an ass, your kid's embarrassed, man. You're embarrassing your kids when you do that kind of stuff. They just want to play sports and have fun, and parents are now ruining it on every level. I mean, Dion probably ruined his kid a little bit, too. Man, a year ago, they're parading Shedeur Sanders around saying he ain't going to go to teams that we don't like and we don't feel comfortable with, and he ends up in Cleveland? That's the only team that would take him. So, like, parents ruin things for kids all the time, and Halliburton's dad's out there doing that kind of stuff last night. He should have gotten his ass kicked.
It was close. It was very close. And from all the guys to poke the bear of. And again, the apple didn't fall far from the tree because Halliburton's kind of that same dude, right? Like we saw in the series earlier, he was using a ref to kind of like shield him between, I forget who he was arguing with in that game. It was Dame Lillard. And Dame wasn't even playing because he, you know, missed the series due to injury. Dame's over there talking. And
he
the ref
for
gets
a
in the
year
middle.
Now, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, Achilles, I mean, maybe go to Roger's doctor.
Father time is now what Dame time is.
Yeah, he's done.
But no, I mean, look, it's one of those things like, I don't know if it's because it's so close to each other, the fan athlete separation in the NBA, but we've now seen Anthony Edwards. We've now seen Luka Doncic. We've now seen Giannis. And it's all fan related.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's this in the NFL, but it's just like there's so much going on
in
the NFL.
Did you see in the UFL that player in St. Louis go up into the stands and slap the fan over the weekend?
What?
Did not see that.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. He's
not a lot of UFL.
Well, I mean,
I didn't see it on X.
On
either.
X. I wasn't watching the game. Yeah, I just saw it on guy. X. Like, this guy was.
Bob's Battle Hawks.
Yeah, right. This guy was talking trash. Shockingly, somebody in St. Louis doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Nice people over there.
Your bingo card is hit there.
Hit, shot,
St. Louis shot.
Yeah. Well, Cody's next. Is he here yet?
Oh, no.
What the hell was that? And so, like, this guy, like, you know, taunt the fans taunting the player out of the fan and player get into it. The player slaps the fan.
Whoa.
And then the other guy tries to, you know, hold me back and all that kind of stuff. It didn't amount
you
to anything.
You see the other guy.
But I'll tell you what, man, like a ticket to a game is not a license to behave like a jerk.
Nope.
It just isn't. And so if you behave that way and a player goes back after you, I'm all in favor of the player. If you do something as a fan where you're sitting courtside, if you're, you know, if you're racist, if you're sexist, if you're nasty, if you're just crude, rude, and socially unacceptable, you get onto the court, you do something that prompts that. That's not on the player. You're trying to entice the player to do something so you can get street cred for 5 minutes on social media. Be like, oh, look what I did. Hey, you ought to get your ass kicked. All these fans that are taunting these players right now should get their ass kicked when they come onto the floor, come near the court and do something like that. Now, sometimes you got to be the bigger person as a player. But we don't know how far Anthony Edwards was pushed. We don't know how far this guy was pushed or that guy
far
was pushed.
Far enough he had to give his size out.
Right, exactly. So was this going on all night and he just got like sick and tired of it? Like fans need to behave better. And it's only getting worse because of gambling. I mean, we're seeing people lose their bets and lose their minds and attack players on social media and whatnot. Like it's time for like a come to Jesus for all these fans and realize you don't have the right to go after players, man. It is a sport. And if you put money on something and you lost, that's on you. And if your son does something good, stay in your seat.
Text line doing the Lord's work. That was Samson Nakua who went into the stands.
Yes.
So familiar Puka's, last name.
Puka's brother.
You don't mess with the Nakuas, man.
Yeah.
And Jimmy and Jey Uso.
Yeah, it was Puka's brother.
That guy awesome. Yeeted and found out, man. What were you saying? I said you're a B. Hold on.
Wait 1 second.
I told you, you wouldn't say it again.
Yeah, he slapped the dude.
Chris. but no, I mean, watching that game last night, obviously it was interesting. You know, you had that game, you had the Knicks game that was very interesting. Now it is 3-2 or it's
3-2
back to Detroit where they just go out and injure people, right? That's like MO for Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
No, Detroit's fantastic. Yeah. They're a physical team just like New York, but they're great, man. They should this series should be over.
How much of that is because you have a huge man crush on Cade Cunningham?
I love Cade Cunningham, so but I love Carl Anthony Towns.
Cat.
Yeah,
that
I
shot
love that
he hit last night towards the end to tie it.
Incredible.
That was from Brooklyn.
He's hit shots.
Has he revamped his career just being in New York?
I mean, I thought he did it last year when he defended Giannis. They went to the WCF. He's a huge part of that. He always gets hate. You know, he's a little charming soft sometimes. He's a whiner, but he hits huge shots, and he can be tough, and he can get gritty sometimes. He guarded the best player in the world last year.
And we might get Celtics-Knicks next round? That has to get the blinds open.
Oh yeah, that'll get the blinds open.
Because now you're closer and closer. You're getting more serious.
Yeah, but I just wish it was like the Eastern Conference Finals.
I know, me
no doubt.
Know,
no, I do.
Like if that's an Eastern Conference Finals, let's get your popcorn ready.
But that's like that's a hell of a divisional series.
It is.
You know, that's like it could be like the 13-second game.
I know, but that's where I was going to go. It's like Buffalo, Kansas City in the wild card round or the divisional round.
Yeah,
like
divisional
this
round.
Is supposed to be a championship round. We're never supposed to be in the wild card against each other. We're never supposed to be in the divisional round against each other.
Yeah.
This is supposed supposed to be the AFC Championship game. And New York and Boston, no matter what age you are, is the biggest rivalry in the country when it comes to cities. That those teams need to be playing on the biggest stage, not like the matinee on a Wednesday. You know, like just not like that's kind of how I feel about that. I wish it was for the Eastern Conference Finals. The NBA needs to fix that.
I just need to see that Celtic green and that Nick White and tip off. And I'm there. Because, I mean, this Detroit Knicks series has been nuts.
It's been amazing.
Last night's game from the tip, no pun intended, was amazing. And then, they hit that, what is it? They have Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart on the bench watching the team just dissipate and doesn't call a timeout.
So players on the floor.
Can somebody explain that to me?
Tibbs good.
I'm not a basketball fan in any stretch, but tell me I couldn't coach that team.
No, it's insane. The two games they've lost have been because of him not calling a timeout.
I mean, you got your two best players just sitting there
on the court.
I mean, to think that he's going to make a rational decision, look at his hair. I mean, we got Homer Simpson's hairstyle in real life. Like, the Simpsons have called it. Tibbs's hair is the three strands on the top of the head and then nothing. But he keeps it alive. Not only that, if you're a player for the Knicks, and I don't know if this, like, overshines your coach, you got to, like, just make a foul. Like, just foul somebody.
Just call the timeout yourself. 100%. At that point in time, like, whoever the captain of that team is, whether it's Ewing or, you know, Dave DeBuscher, call that timeout.
Oakley would have fouled somebody.
Oakley would have punched somebody. Like yeah, back in the game. Clock. Right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, that stuff is beyond
They're
me.
Just sitting
like,
there.
Bonkers. Like, you know. the basketball IQ is, I think, lower than, like, football IQ, baseball IQ, hockey IQ. I watch these college guys just launch shots that they have no business taking. Yep. They all think they're Carl Anthony Towns from the logo last night. Nobody in college can make that shot. Stop trying to do that. And then Thibodeau out there yesterday going, I got my two best guys over here scratching their ass in front of a scorer's table.
10-4.
To me, it made me think in my head, like, you know, obviously doing the sports thing at the same time, which can get a little, like, not healthy. But I'm thinking, like, football terms, what would this would be like? And it'd be like...
It'd be like Mahomes standing over there.
And I took Mahomes out of it, because I'm glad you brought that up. But it's like you're running the two-minute drill, and you've got Worthy and Kelsey on the sideline, and you've got, like, Noah Gray and Justin Watson out there, and you're like, you can't get him in because you don't have a dead ball.
Who's the quarterback? Is it Matt Moore at that point in time, or who's that other guy?
It's still Mahomes, but it's like he needs his two best weapons on the field. And they're just running. He's like, clock it. Like, foul.
Yeah, do
call
something.
Call timeout. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, draw. Then, of course, right to your text with you, Drew and I. Of course, doesn't get the players in. Calls timeout finally. 49 seconds left. 47. Draws a play. Swish.
Great three.
And you
great
see the
play.
Knicks fan as a kid being like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the kid's reaction. I love the kid reactions.
Oh,
like, they're seeing that kind of stuff. They're still innocent and they think it's real. It's outstanding. You know, it's so much fun to see the fans or the other fan reaction when they don't do something, because there was one guy in the crowd that was complaining. You could see behind Tibbs at the end of the game last night.
Yes. I love the new trend that every fan just does the review.
It's like
whenever you see a flag, hold it. It's just review.
Or every
review.
Football fan just goes like this every time, every play.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and they just go review. Like that.
Awesome. The finger twirls.
Or in soccer now, it's the VAR. Get the VAR out.
Oh, is that
VAR.
It? Okay.
That's
and then for us at like parties, it's the Seinfeld.
Yeah, banging the head. Oh my God, this guy won't leave me alone. But to bring it kind of back, you know, we're watching this game last night, and my wife says to me,
four eyes on the NBA.
Well, she had like maybe one open. It was kind of, you know, again, we were trying to sleep throughout all of this. And she goes, they just don't play defense in the NBA. I go, enough.
Jenny.
Like, stop. What did you just say?
I just said Jenny.
Oh. Are we sure that's what he said?
Jenny.
I'm like, stop, please just stop. Like, to me, that is the biggest sports myth. Is there a bigger sports myth than they don't play defense in the NBA?
Would you say that holding happens on every play?
I mean, fine, I
That's
guess.
That's the only thing I can think of.
The only thing?
Because they're like, well, holding happens on every single play. They just don't call it. I'm like, does it happen on every single play?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do I'm we sure. know that for a fact?
I mean, ask any offensive lineman. They'll probably tell you, yeah, I held on every play.
But I mean, do we know that? Like, where's that on the all 22? Here's the offensive
here's the
line.
Hold, here's the hold.
No hole. Like, where's the circles? Like, I don't know. That was one I thought about.
What else is out there from like a sports myth standpoint that people just believe? Because everybody draft for the most grades. Part. Yeah, draft grades. Yeah, exactly. But honestly, like she said that to me last night, and I'm like, I got irrationally mad because, again, I'm not a basketball fan, but I covered the Spurs for 2 years. I sat courtside for 2 years watching the NBA up close and personal, right? What are you doing that for?
Flex.
No, it's not a flex. It was my job, so right?
To the wife, it's a flex. Like, well, yeah. That's the definition.
Okay.
It's not like, it doesn't always have to be like an egregious, like exalted flex. You can just be like, hey, you don't think there's defense. Here's how I'm going to come at you with it. So that's what I'm saying.
So I sat there for 2 years and watched this league as close as I am to you. And I watched these dudes bust their ass on the defensive side of the floor because that was the biggest myth. And then I saw it for 2 years in person. These guys play defense. Stop saying the NBA doesn't play defense.
Did you and Mac have like a Freaky Friday, like where you switch bodies?
You just hear these sports myths over the years. Like, stop telling me college basketball is better than the NBA. Oh, it is not on any level better than the NBA. You like newspaper thrown up in the air and waving wheat and rock chalking it up. You like that, right? Like, that doesn't happen in the NBA. You like all that stuff. The play is nowhere near. It might as well be baseball versus another sport when you're talking college versus the NBA. But, I mean, my God, that is the biggest sports myth in the world for me. And I don't know that there's anything that even comes closer to that. And you guys can weigh in what your biggest sports myth is, that maybe Babe Ruth is the best baseball player of all time now that we got Shohei Ohtani. I don't know. But, like, it was just like, oh, my God, stop. Just please stop with the NBA doesn't play defense. That is such a tired, lame, wrong piece of commentary.
From the 816, biggest myth in sports that the WWE is scripted. It's real to me. It's still real to me, damn it. There's no secret that the NBA is clearly divided into two different competition levels. There's the regular season, and then there's NBA playoffs.
It's completely different.
There's a reason why people say the NBA playoffs are one of the best around, because
every sport, though, is like that in the playoffs now.
Yeah, minus the NFL. Like, NFL, you could be week three and be locked into a game that goes down on the wire. You're like, that was awesome.
Yeah, okay.
And that's you're going to see that game in week four. You're going to see a game like that in week five.
I figured you were talking like intensity level, because that intensity level does ramp up in the playoffs for NFL and in baseball and in hockey and in basketball. Like, the playoffs are a different beast, man.
More physical, more intense.
That's why we got to get rid of the regular season.
Shorten it.
Seriously,
let's go.
Like, in all these, you know?
It's the human being aspect of it. Like, when you realize that, like, okay, like, we're going for the prize, and if we lose, we're done. Our season's over.
Right, is why with the regular season, we're not playing for anything today.
Biggest myth in sports is that Drew Nixon thinks he can break 100 at Augusta. Well done.
That's really good.
Well done.
Or that Steven Spector thinks he can get a hit off of Mariano Rivera. Yeah. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Our guy Kramer thought he could catch 100 pop flies, 100 for 100?
100 for 100.
100 for 100.
100 for 100. Wouldn't miss one.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the jugs machine.
I don't know, Dusty, you came up with the hypothetical. Were you just saying, was it jugs machine?
Yeah, just popping up in the air.
I like the confidence, but you're not. I don't even know that a major leaguer would go 100 for 100. There'd be one that goes off to the right or some of the machine malfunctions or you trip.
Yeah.
Or like that guy last night, you still catch it, but.
Biggest recent myth in sports is Chiefs get bailed out by refs in clutch moments.
Oh, great one. You get the day. That, mm-hmm. How do we not have that right
Seriously,
away?
Yeah. Great one. Gosh, yeah, I feel stupid for not getting that one.
Do you want to read Jen's text
on the
air?
That's the only reason you get stupid?
Oh, yeah, this is a good text for you.
All right.
660, NBA sucks, and they don't play defense, Bobby. You're wrong.
Bobby.
Ginny, Bobby.
There's one, Jen.
Gosh, yeah, That's too bad, man. You're wrong, 660.
You're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. I just explained to you how you're wrong. Yeah. And you're still, they don't play defense. So what if they don't play defense? And if they didn't play, when was the last time you tuned into a game in any sport for defense? Bueller? Tell you what, can't wait to go to the Royals game tonight. Watch them play defense.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you can watch, really.
Well, yes, maybe bad. Can't wait to go to the Chiefs game tonight, watch them play defense. To hell with that Mahomes.
Yeah, 10-3.
That offense. Let's go out there and win this thing 10-3, yeah.
You would kick.
I love defensive football.
Perfect scenario for this. Four of your friends are at the tailgate getting ready to walk in. Somebody like me goes, all right, what are you ready to see? Mac goes, I'm ready to see Kelsey just go ham. 10 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bob, I'm ready to see Xavier Worthy take one over the top. Kramer's in the huddle for some reason. I'm ready to see, Isaiah Pacheco runs somebody over. Here comes some random Joe. You know what I'm ready to see? Chris Jones' pressure rate. get out.
Again, you're complaining that they don't play defense. You're not going to a game to watch defense, but yet that's what everybody wants to say about the NBA. That's their excuse for why the NBA is, well, they don't play defense.
We have a myth or a truth that we'll bring up with Jay Binkley involving the Kentucky Derby about if a horse pees before or after what it means. Jay Binkley wraps
up
the draft, and he talks who he's going to pick for the Kentucky Derby on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
There's juice all over the place.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5.
We'll have 6:45. Jay Binkley will join us here in just a second as we will get into his final thoughts of the 2025 NFL draft. Next year it's in Pittsburgh. They're on the clock, so is your mock draft 1.0. But you know, a quick shout out to Binkley and Unicero for all their draft coverage.
Great job.
That's more of a grind than you think. And, you know, props to those guys and props to what they did. You know, doing the draft show on Saturday, that's tougher than anything I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, driving around listening, like, who are these guys and how do they know this information?
That's
and
the
how
thing.
Do they, how do they do 4 hours of this content? Because they found the two biggest nerds that love football that gave you all the action. So without them, you don't have the character concerns. Without them, you don't have mock drafts. Without them, you don't have insight to what's going to happen. So, big props to Chris Nocero and Jay Binkley.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I listen to and I go, I couldn't do this, right?
No.
I could not do that because they are so in tune to it. Now, I can look at these guys after, you know, they get drafted and go, oh, I'm excited about this guy and I'm excited about that guy or whatever the case may be. But going in and Binkley's like, who do you think they're going to take in the third round? Hell, I don't know five people that they're going to get drafted in this draft. And one of them's not going to get any attention being the number one pick overall, you know, in Cam Ward. And everybody's going to be focused on pick number 144. So they do a great job. Him and Unicero do an unbelievable job. And Binkley does a pretty good job as well with the draft stuff. Hello, Jay.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, Binkley, we're going to get to the draft conclusion here in just a second and to see what we need to work on forward. But we did a little bit of homework yesterday. We found a fun site, FanDuel, and they gave out what your racing horse name would be for the Kentucky Derby. Yours is Long Shot Barbecue. How do you feel about it?
I actually like that. It's a nice Derby name.
And then what's your strategy on picking the right horse?
Usually if they pee before they race, I mean, that's a try and true method. I mean, back when we had the Woodlands here in Kansas City, I would go to a lot of the dog races and honestly, I would go down there, wait and see which dog took a whiz and I'd go bet on it.
Or a dump.
Yeah.
Double the bet.
The dump
there.
Was always guaranteed win.
Yeah. Cause they're much lighter when they do that. Are you going to go pay homage to Lauren, the Kentucky Derby winner buried in Prairie Village before the race? Or do you do that afterwards?
You know what, Bob? I haven't made it over there yet, but every year I keep telling you I want to go see the remnants of that horse.
Well, there's no remnants of a horse. It's a tombstone and a monument. The remnants are buried under the street.
Mm. But the horse is buried under the street.
Yeah, the legs are still sticking up. You can see those over there.
Yeah, my old co-host used to like horses, too. Mm. He was always so good at telling you which horse was better in the run. The mudders, because that's a difference. There are certain horses that are very good in the mud.
Yeah, well, his mother was a mutter or whatever they used to say.
True. So.
Binkley, the draft is officially over. Everything is settled and done. Where do you look forward to this Chiefs team moving forward with some of the additions they made in the draft?
I'm just looking forward to seeing, you know, they've obviously spent a lot of money and equity on their defense, and they've definitely been drafting for their defense, what that defense can do, but that's great. I mean, I can't wait to see that, how solid they're going to be. But what's the offense going to look back? Kind of like they thought it was going to be last year, having Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. Can these guys all stay healthy together? Because if they stay healthy together, that's a pretty good group, a pretty special group at wide receiver. If those guys, but I want to see them all play together, you know, and at the same time. And I guess the other big question is, can they block on the left side of the line?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, we'll figure that out, I guess, as we kind of get closer and closer to the season, whether or not, you know, it's going to be the rookie or whether it's going to be Jalen Moore that's going to play, you know, that position over there. Yeah. They got a lot to figure out, and that's a good problem when you have two guys battling for a position. I don't have an issue with that as well. Is there anything that they still need to add? Like, yeah, they didn't quite complete this task or complete that task?
I don't really think so. I know that people see Nick Chubb out there and think, oh, you could put him in the backfield, but I think they're pretty set on all that. I just don't think there's anything you can add. Sure, you can always add other weapons and wide receivers and things like that, and Amari Cooper and guys like that. But I don't think you really need to add much, because if you really needed to add them to your team, they'd already be added to this team. If they're really a free agent that could help this team, they'd already be added. The draft's done. There's nothing else you can do. This is the team you're going to roll with.
Binkley, when you look at this offense next year, you say that they all got to stay healthy, and you know, if they can all stay together, it could be explosive. I know last year they, you know, took a hit with Rice getting injured and Worthy was a rookie. But like, where do you see the numbers coming from this offense? Like, will Rice, I know he is facing probably a suspension that we think about or we've been told about, but like, is he your receptions leader, and then it's Worthy, then it's Kelce, or where does Kelce kind of find himself in this offense in 2025?
I think Kelce's there, 97 catches last year. They'll probably be somewhere in the 80s as far as catches. And I don't think people realize that he's number one all time for anybody in the National Football League, receiver, tight end, for 9 straight years to have over 90 catches, which is insane. But I think this year he'll be in the 80s. I think Hollywood Brown has a big year. I think that they brought him in last year to be that, you know, that big hitter, guy downfield catching passes. He loves being here, but then that injury, man, and he was going to be gone. It was going to be a one-year wonder for the Chiefs last year. Brett Veach even said so before the draft, Hollywood Brown, and he would go out and get that money, a huge year, and then get that money, bet on himself, get the money. Well, he got hurt, and then all of a sudden things changed. Like, I bet they can get this guy back here next year. His motivation level is high, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what he could do, and also Worthy. I want to see what he does taking that next step, because his confidence went way up mid-season. He was brought in here, not as much stress at all on him because of Worthy here, because of Rice was here, and Hollywood Brown was here, so not much stress, not much pressure. But then all of a sudden, those guys get hurt, and then all of a sudden, Worthy came from being this rookie to all of a sudden, I got to step up and play, because he was not catching the ball inbounds. He was stepping out of bounds when he was catching the ball. And then towards the end of the year, he became the guy. He became the leading receiver in the postseason. So see what his progression is from year one to year two, because, man, he just took off midseason because he had to. It was like trial by fire because everybody else is hurt. You go, rookie. So I'm curious what he can do in year two.
Jay, I think a name to kind of look at and get excited about is this Ashton Gilotti that they drafted out of Louisville, the defensive end. There was a story in The Athletic that came out that, you know, a couple of teams wanted to trade up and kind of, you know, get that guy. And then the Chiefs got in there and took him at number 66. You know, Detroit, I think, was one of those teams that wanted him. I think the Rams wanted him, and they were hoping to trade up to like number 70 to get him. The Chiefs take him at number 66. You got to think when Brett Veach is kicking your ass on the field and off the field since 2018, this is just another one of those moves that kind of tick off NFL teams and go, damn, he's always a step ahead of us.
Yeah, I agree with you. He kind of fell of his arm length and whatnot, but we had his head coach Jeff Brohm on this weekend because he coached George Karloftis at Purdue and, of course, had Gilotti at Louisville. And his defensive coordinator, Mark Hagan, came from Purdue with Karloftis, and he's with Gilotti at Louisville. He hooked those two guys up. Gilotti and Karloftis were communicating. And the cool thing about it was Karloftis was coaching him via the phone. They'd watch film. They'd have film study together. It's not that they were just, you know, talking to each other on the phone. Hey, man, how you doing? Good job, bro, and all that kind of thing. No, it was watching game film and how he could get better. And I thought that was interesting because it was kind of Coach Karloftis. And now they're together. Now they're teammates, which is crazy. But, Coach Brohm talked about that, the similarities between Karloftis and Gilotti. And those are very good comparisons to have because those guys, they're relentless in what they do. And when Brohm was talking about that connection between the two, I was like, okay, I like this more and more and more. When the head coach, who had them both at Purdue and at Louisville, is making those comparisons, like, it's one thing for anybody to write about it. It's another thing for the head coach to talk about it.
Binkley, the schedule release is, I believe, 2 weeks from today.
That's right.
What's the one game on the Chiefs' schedule in 2025/2026 that Jay Binkley is the most interested in?
You know, I would have to say a divisional game. It's got to be in the division. I'm curious. Actually, all three of the divisional games are interesting to me because all these teams think they're ready for prime time. But I'm going to say the Broncos because the Broncos made the postseason last year. I know the Chargers did as well. But Bo Nix and that team's feeling themselves. The Chiefs had a 16-game run where they beat them every single season. So I think that game for the Chiefs to go into Denver and keep beating them. I know last year was a joke because they didn't start anybody in that Denver game. But Patrick Mahomes is, 19-1 in division games on the road. So I want to see the Chiefs go into Denver and knock off that because they have the most annoying fans. Forget about Cincinnati and all this. The most annoying fans in the NFL are the Broncos in every incomplete pass. Incomplete. By far the most annoying thing in football.
At least they have some sort of success with Super Bowl championships. The Bengals have nothing. That city and St. Louis can both wash down the river.
That's true. One thing about the Bengals, though, Bob, is you got to remember something. They always have the worst draft. The last 2 years have been the absolute worst draft that they could have, and it's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
As Dusty would say, how you doing?
No doubt about it, baby. Binkley, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks from today about the potential of what a schedule release could be because, you know, there's no Royals game on that Thursday, by the way.
You got a schedule release recap show coming Thursday, don't you?
May 14th, when the schedule comes out, there's the Royals game, right?
Yeah, but the next day, May 15th, wide open.
Nothing going on.
Oh, well, you kidding me? Let's roll, man. Five-hour type deal, man.
Now I throw it back to you.
Remember,
you
started the schedule release shows. People don't realize that.
Yeah, and you know what? They put us on late at night, too. We were on after the Royals and Burn. It was like about 11:30 at night it came on. It was tucked away.
Oh, man.
It was like disrespected, and now all of a sudden, like it's prime time. But yeah, the 15th, that could be a schedule release recap. Yeah, I need the email spec.
No doubt about
Please
it.
Do
Bink.
Make sure you do that.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Binkley. Stay good, brother.
All right, guys, take care.
There you go. The seed has been planted. We will see if it blossoms into a schedule release.
Oh God, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, come on, sales, sell it. One night only.
Come
Binkley on, releases the schedule. The Bink release show. How many people are tuned in? One at least for sure. Coming up on the other side, I want to bring up the poll question, which is a Wednesday. Plus, this Bill Belichick thing ain't going away, and there's a lot of reasons
why. I heard
why.
One yesterday that was floated out there.
But wait, there's more. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.